Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I am so excited about hearing, well, I guess the outcome, but not the ultimate thing. We always talk about not only to know the news, but we need to know what to do with the news that we know. You may be watching the news cycle, not understanding, you know, what's taking place here and what's the ramifications of it. And as you notice, the world's getting smaller and smaller and everything affects everything. But in the Ukraine, the president in Ukraine, and which was a free country who broke away and got their freedom from Russia, the president tried to go back up under Russia again. And as many things that we've been seeing, you know, you look like, oh my goodness, uh-huh. You know, and the church prayed there. And the Congress heard what the people, they heard the people said, we don't want to go back up under that kind of oppression again. We mm-hmm. want to be able to be free. As a matter of fact, listen to CBN News right here. It's just going to bless your heart.
Many of you today probably feel the same as I do. There are a lot of tears in our hearts.
At one of Kiev's largest evangelical churches, Pastor Anatoly Kaluzhny tries to comfort a grieving congregation.
To be honest, I am not euphoric. My heart is aching because our nation has paid a big price in blood.
Ukrainians have been mourning the more than 100 people killed in clashes between riot police and protesters. And that sadness settles over a country facing dramatic political changes. After 3 months of protests, anti-government demonstrators are now in power. On Saturday, Ukraine's parliament stunned the nation by voting overwhelmingly to impeach President Viktor Yanukovych, who then fled the capital city. Hours later, members of parliament picked Oleksandr Turchynov, a prominent evangelical Christian, as interim president until new elections in May.
Christians were praying on Independence Square. We were praying in our churches. People around the world were praying for us, and God did a miracle. Ukraine is a new country.
And to give you a sense of just how dramatic the changes have been, a few days ago, this entire street was completely filled by the so-called Ukrainian Berkut, the police. Today, you have dozens of men. You can take a look all the way down. These are ordinary folks who have taken up position in front of the parliament.
What happens next is very uncertain. As lawmakers scramble to put together a coalition government, skepticism abounds. That includes former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko, free after spending the last 30 months in prison.
We need to totally change the government. We need a whole new set of leaders. We don't need the rich oligarchs back in power. They need to go.
Ukraine's neighbor, Russia, closely watches the changes. It has huge economic ties here, and President Vladimir Putin has publicly talked about bringing Ukraine back into its political orbit. The protesters instead want closer ties with Europe. On Sunday, America warned Russia not to even think about sending troops into Ukraine. Back at Pastor Kaluzhny's church, a plea for reconciliation after months of turmoil.
We need to unite because the society is divided, east and west, north and south. We need to come together and make very important decisions in the days ahead.
Now, some of you say, well, what's with Ukraine? Like, who cares? I want to show you a map just to give you a sense of the strategic location. You see, there's Russia, and right there's that huge country of Ukraine. It's a gigantic country, but look, it borders on Belarus, it borders on Poland, it borders on Slovakia, borders on Hungary, borders on Romania. It is a strategic port on the Black Sea, and it is probably one of the most fertile areas of agriculture in the whole world. So when Stalin came in with his collectivization, he starved out the Ukrainians and took away their food. But nevertheless, they want freedom. And it's just amazing. The Russians want it because, you see, Putin wants to reestablish the former Soviet Union. He wants greater Russia. He wants hegemony. And right in the middle of the triumph of that Winter Olympics, they pull this thing away from him. I mean, it's one of those ironies of history. Now, George Thomas is over in Kiev, the capital of the Ukraine. And George, tell us about that interim president. That comes as quite a shock.
Yeah, it was stunning. He was, in essence, he's 50 years old. His name is Oleksandr Turchynov, and he has a long political career, Pat. He's a close ally of the former opposition leader, Yulia Tymoshenko, who was just released a few days ago after spending 30 months in prison. But clearly, as I've spent time on Maidan, on Independence Square, people are talking about Turchynov because he was there. He was there from the beginning, ever since November when the riots began, when the demonstrations began. He was there calling for Yanukovych to step down. So he has emerged clearly as a central figure in all of the upheaval that's taking place today in Ukraine.
Well, George, they're going to have elections very soon. Is it Tymoshenko? Right. Is she the front runner, or is this gentleman going to be running and he might be the next full-time president?
Yeah, excellent question, Pat. You know, there's ambivalence toward Yulia because, you know, people remember she represents, Pat, so much of the old guard. And many of the folks, the majority of the folks I have spoken to say, listen, we want young people. We need fresh blood. We need folks who are not tied to the oligarchs, these rich families that they accuse of controlling the wealth of this country.
This is and so amazing as we're watching freedom. We're watching freedom where people said, you know, we don't want to lose the freedom that we have here. And that's so encouraging because it reminds me of the birth of America and how, you know, that basically the people that were in America just said, you know, we don't want to lose our freedom. And over again, mm-hmm. they didn't stand for something different than what was going on. That was that's their constitution. They were just saying this is unconstitutional. You know, you can't just hand over your president. You can't just hand over our country to some other, you know, Vladimir from Russia here. I mean, what are you doing? And what's so cool, remember, we talked about this in the original 10, if you haven't heard it yet. If y'all can go ahead, if you can make this map up there.
All right.
That Congress, remember, Congress is the representation of you. Mm-hmm. They're the representation of you. Well, we don't want to go to it just yet, but Congress is the representation of you that they represent 200 and something.
There's 500 and something congressmen, but I think it's every 700,000 in the population.
No, it's 200 and something thousand for every representative.
700.
Is it 700,000?
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about that. That's the smallest representation that you get, a representative for every 700,000 people in your state. And what happened is when you look at the Congress in Ukraine, they saw what the people that they represent were saying was, this is the wrong direction for this nation. This is unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. That they immediately said, you know, we need to respond to our people who we represent. They represented them. And so they just instantly said, okay, this is unconstitutional. And they made a shift in government. And next thing you know, they're headed back in the direction, the original intent of the nation there. Mm-hmm. It was amazing what took place right there. And it's like, that was all constitutional. It was all within the rights of the people. And the representatives, obviously, like they represented the people really well. The sad thing is about the life that was lost. But they were talking about, I think it's Turchynov, Turchynov, I think is his name. I can't speak Ukrainian. But he's a Christian, a minister, a Christian that is now standing in the gap for this president's space that's now vacated. And it's like the church prayed, and it's just exciting. I want to encourage you, you know, don't throw your hands up. I mean, think how negative that looked, mm-hmm. how bad that looked when you're looking at, you know, it's something that you've done in your past. We used to be a part of Russia. We used to be a part of all this oppression, you know, so it kind of fits our DNA, so we could easily fall back to that particular area. And then all of a sudden the economy's not going well, and these the wealthy folks got into office and they started trying to run everything in a certain way. And they could have just said, oh well, we're gonna go back, just let it go, but they just began to pray. Mm-hmm. I mean, it came so close, and it's still on the edge. It came so close to just going back to who they used to be up under a communism where You know, they pushed God out of the picture there, unless you had described God the way that, you know, they wanted you to describe God. And they prayed, and look what happened. The people rose up, and I really believe that, just like Dr. King said in America, that there's more good people in America. Their hearts are good. You just don't hear them right now.
Right.
And that they're not going to let this country leave. They're going to stand up and say, you know, this is the Constitution. This is what we stand for, one nation under God, and begin to pray. And we've been praying for years now, you know, asking God to save this nation. You know,
that's right.
We've been praying, you know, for ourselves, that we would repent and turn, and encouraging others to turn back to the voice of God and to hear him. But if you know the history of the Ukraine, you can see this map right here. It's a very large, large country, and it used to be known as the breadbasket of Europe, and that's exactly what America used to be known as, the breadbasket, and it was part of Russia's. Well, they lost that when they got their independence, but you can imagine this entire country coming back up under Putin again, and he was offering them fuel incentives and said that we will give you entitlements. We will entitle you to cheap gas. Isn't that amazing? His goal was to take over, to offer Ukrainians $15 billion in entitlements. I mean, he wasn't giving them like cash. He was going to say, we got gas, we'll give it to you cheap, like Chavez did. Mm-hmm. And this president was really thinking about going that way. And it's like, entitlements, freedom, loss of a nation. We got to be so careful about, you know, we want to be able to help people out, but if somebody's trying to take your freedom and take your nation, you don't want to just take it, even if you have to ride horses again. Mm. Lord forbid.
Lord help us.
But I think about Stalin. When you go back and study the history, when Stalin wanted to take over, what he did was he began to control the food source. And the way he did that was to, since Ukraine was the breadbasket, he would, this large nation here is a breadbasket, that he began to control how food was grown, how much food was grown, telling the farmers, you can't grow this, you can't eat this. And literally the breadbasket began to starve.
Wow.
They began to starve. And millions of folks died because of that technique. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like sometimes people think the only way that people can take over something, a nation or whatever, is by a gun or by force. But the reality is the biggest way to take anything over is with a lie. You know, I got a better way. Mm-hmm. And the breadbasket got starved. They literally had all this ability to grow food, but they were so controlled by the government. And that's how he took over.
Wow.
He took over through starvation. So when you start looking at food shortages and that type of thing, and you've heard us talk about it, you know, what does this mean to us in America? Well, let's set that aside for a moment. As Christians, it means everything to us that your brothers and sisters, your Ukrainian brothers and sisters, were facing a giant coming in to be able to take over their land. And they stood up and they prayed, and God heard, and God moved and gave them favor. And the cost was, I don't know, did they say 75 or 90 lives that were just taking shots right off the roof, these sharpshooters from the Ukrainian government. It's so confusing at a time like that, because, you know, one day you're a law enforcement officer and you're military and you're defending a nation. And next thing you know, if the leadership goes away from the nation and you're working for the leadership, you're like, you're caught between this. What do I do at this point?
Mm-hmm.
And they were shooting them in the head. They shot the protesters in the head. They shot them in the lungs. They shot them in the heart, and just shooting right off the roof.
Wow.
And there is a way to shoot somebody in the leg. I mean, if you're a sharpshooter, you're laying on your belly on the roof and you got a clear shot, you don't have to shoot somebody in the head, the lung. You know, you can just, you know, if you're going to shoot, you can shoot the wound. And, but they still stood. They stood. They didn't let it go. And it's like, oh my goodness. I just like so proud of the Ukrainians that they held fast to who they were as a free people. And it's a little shaky right now. They're talking about it could split, you know, the whole nation could split. But it's sort of like somebody saying, you know, that you have a cancerous tumor, you can stay together with your cancerous tumor, or we can actually cut off this cancerous tumor. And some people say, oh, I can't believe that that person's going to split up from that cancer. And it's like, sometimes things need to split.
Exactly.
You know, as a matter of fact, I think California just went through some particular adjustments based on some news reports that they've already working through the concept of splitting up California, I think in 6 different states.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That's, I really believe, I don't know how that's going to happen and all, but if they were willing to do that, that the parts of it that says we're going to stand for God could be a huge difference. You'd watch. It'd be like, you know, Haiti, when you go down there to Haiti and you see the Dominican and how I really feel that in my heart. If they made those kind of decisions, said, if that's the way you're going to go, you know, I want to divide myself off from you. So when people start worrying about Ukraine, you know, splitting, if it's a cancerous communist tumor and it wants to partner up and buddy up with, you know, Vladimir Putin, if that's the majority of the people in that part of the Ukraine, you know, let them have it.
Yeah.
Because if somebody says, well, that just cuts things back. Well, look at the size of Israel. It doesn't. Everybody tries to get the crowd thing going. But the truth is, you could be Israel standing with God, and God's going to protect you, even if your widest point of your country is 60, 70 miles wide. And you can be blessed. The thing about it is we can't sell out God, you know, for what we think it has to be. And we just want to pray for the Ukrainians today. And so as a Christian, we want to, you know, just looking at it as a perspective, what does that mean to us? It means that God heard the prayers of our brothers and sisters and turned this thing. And also the fact is that it could cost you. It could cost you to stand. And we have to be ready for that every day. Law enforcement officers risk their life to be able to protect us so that we can go to Starbucks or we can go shopping or we can go take our kids to school. And you may not lay your life down every day like that and at risk, but every day law enforcement officers do that.
That's right.
The military goes out and they defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign enemies, and they risk their lives every day. And they're in caskets come home with their bodies at times. So the reality is our brothers and sisters and our fellow citizens are defending us every day with their life. But we as American citizens all should pledge an allegiance to the flag and to the Constitution. As Christians, we should have an allegiance to Jesus. And at that time, sometimes having an allegiance means it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. And I was just so there, and you're hearing the news report how broken they are, but I don't know, it's a time to celebrate because we had such loss. But it's all these mixed feelings. But the biggest thing that happened, it didn't go over to darkness.
Right.
And that's amazing. That's encouraging. So what does that mean to us as Americans and American Christians and Americans? I mean, that we can be proud of our relationship with God again, and we can be proud of our Constitution.
Yeah.
That it's not illegal for you to support the laws of the land. It's actually, think about that. It's not illegal for you to support the laws of the land. We are a nation of laws. Take the citizenship test if you haven't taken it. And we talked about it over the radio a couple of days. It's amazing, you know, the people that are new citizens know more about our country than people that have been living in this country for a long time. We are a nation of laws. Everything that happens, it has to fit. It's supposed to fit the Constitution. So it's not illegal for you to say, listen, let's live by the Constitution. Let's hold everything to the fire of the Constitution. If it doesn't stand, let it go. And we can see as these Ukrainians stood for their Constitution and their freedom and the things that they went through. I mean, in the very beginning, I remember one of their leaders got poisoned. They some mysterious thing happened where in his blood, they just obviously, you know, evil came in and tried to take him out and stop the Ukraine from being free. And he cost him his life. He died from an attack, a chemical attack in his body.
Oh, wow.
And you saw his capillary showing, and it was terrible. But he held on, he fought through, and it was just amazing to see what took place. We want to remember Ukraine today in our prayers. They should encourage us as Americans to say, you know what? We need to stand up for freedom. We need to stand up for the Constitution. As Christian Americans, we need to pray for our leaders, and we need to be in contact with our representatives who represent us. And look what those representatives did in the Ukraine. That's how you should be in contact with your representatives and say, listen, we want you to represent us like that. If anybody ever tries to take our country, tries to take us away from our Constitution, from the very thing that holds us together, and everything is streams from that. I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up and do the tough work. I want you to stand up for the Constitution and defend it from enemies, foreign and domestic. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well. We want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not or not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today, or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.